वर्स नंबर 15, यस्मानो द्विजते लोकः लोकानो द्विजते चयः हर्षामर्षभयो द्वेगैः मुक्तो यः स च मे प्रियः यस्मात् इज़ द फिफ्थ केस इन संस्कृत. यस्मात् मीन्स फ्रॉम हू. न उद्विजते लोकः. लोकः मीन्स द वर्ल्ड. सो द वर्ल्ड does not get agitated, udvijate, agitated from him. So from him, the world does not get agitated. Lokat no udvijate chayaha. Yaha, that person, does not, the world does not agitate him. So he does not agitate the world does not agitate him. He does not disturb the world does not disturb him. Harsh, amarsh, bhaya, udvegaiha, udveg, udvegaha. So he has four qualities that he should be free from. Muktaha, he should be free from harsha. Harsha means elation. Excessive joy, he should not have. Amarsh, amarsh means jealousy. Bhaya, bhaya means fear. And udvega means agitation. So he should be free of those. Excessive joy, jealousy, fear and agitation, mukta, and one who is free from those, ya sa cha me priyaha, and that person is dear to me. So again and again the Lord repeats, yo mad bhakta sa me priyaha, ya sa cha me priyaha, so that is dear to me. Who is that? From whom the world does not get agitated and disturbed, and who does not get disturbed by the world. So you mean to say he's a nincompoop? He just sits and does nothing. You know, I don't want to disturb the world, so I'm just going to sit in my house and not go out and do anything. And if I am stay in my house, I won't disturb anybody and nobody will disturb me. So I should just become lazy and say, no, that's not what Krishna wants us to be. What he says is that he has so much spiritual power and courage and so much knowledge, but he does not throw his weight around. He does not make other feels that they are useless or they are inferior or somehow they are not good enough. And he has so much power. He has some of them even have siddhis where they can do all kinds of miracles, but they don't use that to intimidate somebody or show off or disturb anybody. When they come to a place, the place becomes so quiet and peaceful when you're in the presence of these Mahatmas. Instead of agitating a place, there may be disturbance going around. And when they show up, that place becomes very quiet, very peaceful. And that is the glory. That's why in these our stories, they talk about these Mahatmas. When they used to be sitting in meditation, a lion and a sheep or a deer would be sitting next to each other. Poisonous snakes would come and sit next to them. And nobody would be harmed because they have that power of that you know, tremendous inner shakti they have, that inner power where they can influence the environment. Some people, you know, they are just sitting in meditation in the Himalayas and you say, and they might be realized masters and you might say, what are they wasting their time, you know, just sitting there doing nothing. No, they are sending out waves of energy, of goodwill to the whole world. And they say the world is maintained because of these Mahatmas. These great people who are sitting in the monasteries and the churches and these places where they are just sitting in deep meditation thinking about the Lord. In fact, they say the rain falls only for these good people. If the rain falls in Bakersfield, that means there are a few good people here. That's maybe there might be more good people in San Francisco. But anyway, that's the point, is that the nature also shares her abundance with these good people. And they are the ones who are maintaining this world. So they maintain the world and they spread peace wherever they go. But then if they are peace loving, then are they like, you know, what do they call that? Doormat that anybody and everybody know. they are firm in their belief, and no matter what happens, they cannot be shaken. The best example is Jesus. You know, he had so much knowledge, but was anybody afraid of him? Nobody. He was the symbol of love and forgiveness and compassion for all. But when the entire Roman Empire came to destroy him, the whole Roman Empire, the whole might of that empire, they said, "We're going to destroy this person." He said, "You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to be swayed from my principles." So that is the idea, that he himself does not disturb anybody. But if somebody comes and tries to shake him, he says, "No, I cannot be shaken." So the point is that one should be firm in one's beliefs without becoming fanatical. It's not that you become a fanatic and you kill everybody, or you put bombs, or shoot anybody who doesn't belong to my, you know, to my way of thinking. But I am comfortable where I am, and if somebody wants to learn from me, that's very good. But I do not need the world's approval to believe what I believe, to practice what I practice. So these people do not disturb the world, and the world does not disturb them, because they are so firmly established in that truth. That is the basic idea of this. Then he says, harsh amarsh bhayo udvegaha. Harsha, harsha means elation. Harsha, of course, means different, but harsh, that means elation, means excessive joy. So you mean to say that it is wrong to be happy? You know, if I hear a joke and I laugh, then maybe from tomorrow on Sunday, I won't be laughing at Dr. Mehta's jokes anymore, and that'll discourage me, because then I won't be, you know, won't have anything to look forward to. But no, what it means, when they talk about elation, what they mean is excessive joy. I am on top of the world. I am the greatest. Something happened. Oh, there is nobody like me. I am so successful. I am such a smart, you know, I'm number one in the race, or I was number one in my school, or I have so much money and I am so happy. Because the masters say that joy and sorrow are like two swings of a pendulum. Like there is a pendulum, right? And it swings to one side, it is joy, other side it is sorrow. So don't say, "I only want the pendulum to swing to the left." You keep pushing it. No matter you do, the moment you take your hand off, it will go there. The ideal should be stay in the middle. But so that's what they say. Both the swingings are bad. Joy is bad and sorrow is bad. Why is that? Because when joy comes, you should say, "Okay, Lord, thank you very much. Aapne kiya bahut achha kiya. I'm very thankful I have what I have. Joy is there. But I know that round the corner there will be some sorrow." Because life is like that. It is two sides of a coin. The pendulum, one time will be joy and one time will be sorrow. And you watch them and you say, both the swingings are wrong. I want the pendulum to stay in the middle. I want my mind to be centered in the middle. Joy comes, it's okay. Sorrow comes, it's okay. But I am centered in the middle of the clock. And let the pendulum go from side to side. Let the mind go. One time happy, one time unhappy, happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy. But I am centered in that. So then you don't get excessively happy when things are happy, and then you don't get excessively sad when things are sad. Sad situation came, okay, you know, I'm sad, but you know, it's okay. You get over it. You don't keep on brooding over that loss or brooding over that sorrow, and months and years you remain miserable. I know obviously there are sad situations may come. There may be a death, or you may have some big sorrow, or your child is sick, or you yourself may get some cancer, God forbid, or some bad thing happens, you know, you have a broken bone or something terrible can happen. But a wise person sees that these joys and sorrows are a result of my karmas. Especially when sorrow comes, it is very hard to stay focused. In the joy you might, in the sorrow immediately we start blaming God, or why did God do this to me, and if God is in me, why does he make me suffer, and why, what did I do to him? I never did anything. I always went to the temple every Sunday. Why does he punish me? Every karma that I have done in the past is producing the results, good or bad. So if I'm having bad things happen, it is I who caused it with my past karmas. And I just have to live through it. If the sickness comes, I go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, don't take care of it, but do not let the sickness get you down. So joys and sorrows will come, but a person remains same, does not get affected by them. The other reason why they say harsh, amarsh, and bhaya, why do they say elation, jealousy, and fear together? Why are these three qualities put? Why did Krishna not mention all the other? Udvega, of course, he is agitated by these three things. Harsh, amarsh, bhaya. Why did he pick only three? Swami Chinmayanandaji says that harsha, joy comes when my desires are satisfied. So I have a certain desire, it got satisfied, so I get joy. But then not every desire is going to be satisfied. Some of them are not. Then I'll be sorrow. So why does desire arise? Because I have not feel myself to be incomplete. I feel myself to be unhappy. And by getting this particular thing, I'll be happy. But Swamiji says, you are happiness. You are happiness. You are that infinite reality, Brahman, that Om. Is your true nature. God is in you. You are that perfect happiness. You don't need an object to make you happy. In fact, he says, do not become a beggar of happiness. Because we beg from others, you know, give me this so I'll be happy. Give me that, I'll be happy. Give me a little smile, I'll be happy. Talk nicely to me, I'll be happy. Give me the job. But when I am happiness, then I should be a giver of happiness to others. Don't be a beggar, but be a giver. Because once you have discovered that infinite happiness, joy within, then you become a source where you can give. So he said, don't be a beggar. Don't go around asking the world to make you happy, but make the world happy. Give your happiness to others. Share your joy with others. And that's what Swami Chinmayananda did. You know, he shared his knowledge and his joy with all of us. And all these great Mahatmas do that. Look at Mirabai, such beautiful bhajans. Even so many 400 years after she's gone, we are still enjoying her bhajans. Tukaram's abhangas and all of these teachings, because they sang out of a spontaneous joy, because they had discovered the Lord within. And so spontaneously that came. So he says that, when you discover that, and through your meditation, through prayer, through the right knowledge, you come to that understanding that the true reality is my true nature. This body, mind, and intellect, this name that I have been given is not me. But I, in fact, in reality, I am that. And I am at this moment in this body playing this role. Then you become happiness. Then the world cannot give you, because what you get from the world is pleasure. It's not happiness, it's not joy, it is pleasure. Oh, by eating this ice cream, I got pleasure. Or by this contact with this girl, or by this money, or by this power or position, I got some pleasure. But true happiness, once you discover, then you don't need the world to make you happy. And then what happens is, though, why does jealousy come? Again, we have talked about that before. I think this Thursday, I spent a lot of time talking about desire. They say that desire, when it is fulfilled, then it can lead to greed. I want more and more. But then when I look around and I see somebody got more, then I become jealous. You know, why does my neighbor have more? Why does I only have 1 million and he has 3 million? You know, then you become jealous. And then people will say, you know, what I'm going to do? I'm waiting to have 1 million in the bank. Then what will you do? Then I'm going to retire, going to live off the interest. I'm going to go to India and meditate. So interest will come every month. I'll live a very simple life. And I'll sit in the Himalayas and meditate. Okay, very good. So somehow he earned and he got 1 million. Acha, now when are you going? He says, you know, interest rates are so low these days. You put in the bank, you get 0.5%. Now on that, In India, you know how expensive the houses are to buy or to rent. It is impossible. It costs 500,000 just to buy a house. I can't. I can't retire. I can't even meditate. How can I be meditating when I have no money? So, okay, so what? Then I'll collect a few million. Finally, you get a billion. You're a billionaire. Now you are happy? No, now I am not. So why? Yeah, because IRS is after me now. They're asking me, where, how did I get the money? And they want me to pay 50% in tax. Can I pay 50%? That means 500 million? He becomes unhappy. Or, you know, this guy is coming with a receipt book. Why? He wants a donation and he's unhappy. So he's never happy. Or this so-and-so, you know, he's becoming my friend. Why? Because I have money. He really doesn't want to be my friend. So then you look upon the world with suspicion, you look upon everybody, you're always fear, then you put multiple, you know, guards, and then you have multiple gates and walls and cameras and all these, you know, security devices. Why? Because I have all this money and people will come and steal it from me. So that's why they say excessive desire leads to jealousy and leads to fear. Or I might lose it. You know, my stock markets are up now. And if the stocks go down, suddenly 500 points, and the guy can't sleep. Oh, I lost 100 million last night or 20 million. So this up and down, you know, one day I lost, one day I gained, and his whole eye is spent only on looking at the ticker. You know, constantly he's checking on his phone everywhere what is happening to Dow Jones, what is happening to my stock. And where does he have time to think of God, and where does he have time to think of anything higher? So that's why they say, with desire comes jealousy, comes greed, and then comes fear of losing. And these constantly leads to agitation. When the mind is constantly agitated, that's what they say. That's what we have studied in Manashodhanam on Thursday nights, that there are two kinds of impurities in the mind. One is negative, like jealousy, greed, fear, anger, you know, lack of compassion, selfishness. So these negative qualities are one impurity. The second impurity is excessive disturbance, excessive agitation in the mind. And the excessive disturbance comes from these negative qualities. And a person whose mind is all the time agitated or disturbed, he has no peace. He can't even sleep at night. He needs to take a Valium, or he needs to have a sleeping pill, or have a couple of drinks. So that kind of living is a stressful living, and that's the problem. That's why the psychiatrists in this country are doing so well, because people are living under constant stress. And so that is why they say that they all come together. It comes as a package. So calm your mind, you know, remove these negativities, and through meditation, through prayer, through right knowledge, and through bhakti, through devotion to the Lord, you can get close to Him. And remove the impurities of the mind and clean your mind. So these verses are very beautiful. We have a few minutes. If anybody can contribute or participate, anything else you think about? Right. True, yeah. Because everything is temporary. Joys are temporary and sorrows are also temporary. This too shall pass. Yeah, they always say that. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti, hari om shri gurubhyo namah, hari om. Thank you.